This is CliffCentral.com.
I don't know what mood that song has just put us in. I mean, what kind of mood did that create? A nice song. Thank you so much, Duncan, for that. And it's our Leadership in Education feature. What an honor to talk about these important things. Leadership in Education in schools more particularly. And we have a special guest today. But first, Barbara Dale-Jones, CEO of Bridge Projects, back in the studio. Welcome.
Thanks, Adrian. It's good to be back.
And last week, a reminder, podcast, Tasneem Muradmia, Head of Department of the Foundation Phase at IR Griffith Primary. She's an award-winning teacher, great passion. It was wonderful to have her and Sibongile Kumalo from Bridge in the studio. So that's a podcast you can download. Very quickly, before we introduce our guest and talk about leadership in schools, what's happening in the education scene? Not much. Well, I mean, we had the registration mess last week. Wow, pressure on the MEC.
Lots of pressure on the MEC. And I think there have been huge challenges, but he is being an innovator here. This is the first province to do this. And if it works, when it works, it'll be a great innovation.
That's what happens. You start something new and it should be a wow, but it doesn't work. And then you're some bad guy in the same breath. You know, it's difficult. But I know of someone specifically who at a high school, Sutherland in Centurion, had to camp overnight, all night, slept there, everything, just to get their kid enrolled.
I think that was very common, and I think parents were very anxious and sitting online all the time waiting to do their registration. So I think there's been a lot of anxiety in the sector over the last few weeks. I think the other thing that's forming the backdrop to what we're going to talk about today is the delay about the release of the Jobs for Cash report. Mm. There's been a probe into the sale of teachers and principals' posts in this country, and it's so important, as we're going to hear again today, about the value of principals. It's so important that principals lead and lead with integrity. And it's very distressing to think that, in fact, we've got interference in this regard in this country. So we wait for that to come out. We wait to see what's going to happen, what the recommendations
are. Why are we waiting?
I mean,
is there a date? No?
I think, I don't know, the minister has said that she's passing it through cabinet, and I think they're doing their own engagement with lawyers before they put it and its recommendations out.
Mm-hmm. But like the arms deal investigation had already landed on the president's desk in January, and he only shared it in April. So we'll see when it comes out. Right, our special guest is Dr. Sapiwe Mtiani from the senior lecturer in the Division of Educational Leadership and Policy Studies at the Wits School of Education. Sapiwe, good to have you with us.
Thank you.
And it's I think you're playing in the space that this show is all about. Leadership and education. But you're currently a senior lecturer at Wits in that division. Just to help us understand what it's about.
Okay, no, I'll do that. Thank
and
you.
And who sits in front of you? What exactly happens?
thank you very much for inviting me to your show, and good afternoon to you and the panel here and the listeners, wherever they are in the country. Yes, I work at Wits in the School of Education in the Division of Educational Leadership and Policy Studies with wonderful colleagues, Bram Fleisch, Francine de Klerk, Gita Motilal, Felix Maringe, and other colleagues. Basically, we work with postgraduate students where we teach them educational leadership and management in schools. And of course, policy studies, that's the forte of Bram, where he looks and analyzes policy issues in the country and how school principals and teachers could engage with that. Basically, that's what we do.
Okay, so who sits in front of you in the classroom, in the lecture room?
Well, mostly it's postgraduate students, those who come to do their honors, masters, courses, if they're doing coursework, but we also work with postgraduate students who are doing PhDs.
All right, so students itself.
And then, of course, we also have, we also teach in the undergraduate courses. For instance, I teach a course called BET, Becoming a Teacher, where we work with the undergraduate students in teaching them the theories of being a teacher, the expected knowledge and the understandings of what it means and what it takes to be a teacher. Basically, that's what we do.
So you have teachers in front of you, or future teachers, or current teachers doing postgraduate studies, maybe some principals.
That's correct. Mm. And circuit managers as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you do some research around policy, and you try and influence policy.
That's correct. That's correct. Perhaps briefly, I've done a lot of research, especially on instructional leadership practices in schools in and around Durban, because originally I come from KwaZulu-Natal. I only joined Wits University last year in July. So most of the research or most of the findings that I'm going to share with you this afternoon is from the data that I've generated from the top performing schools in the townships, basically around Durban, especially the south of Durban, in townships like Kumlazi.
Mm. So just tell me again, so it's instructional leadership in schools.
I've done research in instructional leadership in schools, but the research that
Why don't you call it instructional teaching? I like the word leadership. Why that specific terminology, instructional leadership in schools? So is it how to lead putting together a curriculum? Just give us a bit of more insight into that specific studies.
Okay. In instructional leadership, it's a leadership theory that... that looks at the leadership and management of teaching in the schools. Mm. The expectation here is that the school principal will be biased for teaching and learning in the school. If anything happens in the school, the first question that would be asked would be, has teaching and learning taken place in the classroom? If, for instance, teachers want to hold a meeting during teaching hours, the principal will vehemently say no, because he is for teaching and learning in the school. So when you talk instructional leadership then and management, we are talking of the type of a principal who will jealously guard teaching and learning at the school. Mm. He is there to represent he represents the interests of the teachers, but more than anything else, the learners come first. Mm. It's about teaching and learning in the school. You do have a situation in some schools, especially in the township schools, where principals are afraid to lead and to manage their schools because of a variety of factors which we are going to share and perhaps discuss later on.
All right, so we've got your research and, of course, some questions here that may or may not be aligned to your research, but tell us what your research shows. I mean, are there some headline points that would be of value to principals more particularly?
I thought that perhaps in this discussion this afternoon, I should begin with the question that was asked about the context of our schools. I'm not sure if I should start there.
Sure, go.
Yeah. The question that was asked to me was, there are a lot of school contexts in the country that make school leadership management very difficult. Mm. And how can school principals or the SMTs tackle such difficulties that arise as a result of these harsh contexts? I agree with the notion that it is difficult to lead schools, especially in South Africa. And there is research that has been conducted by people such as Noble, Zembe, Wright, and Avenel, who agree that many schools in South Africa experience vast contextual realities, and they call them in their research multiple deprivation. So you have schools that are multiple deprived. Deprived in sense of material deprivation, employment deprivation, education deprivation, and living environment deprivation. And then you add in that list another problem, and that problem is what is called, there is research that has been conducted in this country and internationally to argue that South Africa is a multiple wounded, multiple traumatized, and a multiple mourning country.
Yeah.
This is as a result, of course, of our apartheid past.
And many other issues since.
And many, yes.
It's just compounded in many ways.
Yes, of course. This is now compounded by the corruption that we see in our country, by the failure to provide basic services to our people. So psychologists then will tell you that accumulated pain that is unresolved frequently leads to apathy, to isolation and aggression, and a diminished capacity to communicate, to be flexible, to be tolerant, and to accept change.
So that's what the context is doing to us.
Yes. So the research then that I have conducted together with other colleagues, especially from UKZN, Professor Chikoko and Dr. Naika. They attest to this. So to answer the question directly on how schools principals can tackle the difficulties that arise as a result of the harsh realities that they experience, we did this research on instructional leadership with these two colleagues I've just mentioned from UKZN, and we found the following. Briefly, we found that those school principals who wanted their schools to succeed, first of all, they walked the talk. They walked their talk. In other words, they emulated the behavior that they expected of their teachers and of their learners.
So that, what did they... They stood up in the classroom themselves in most cases.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. I have a case of a teacher in one of the schools at Umlazi. I'm not sure if I could mention the name, but I don't think I'll do that for ethical purposes. This school principal, his school has always been in the top list of the province in KwaZulu-Natal. In the last 18 years, they have never obtained less than 92%. He teaches English. He starts his day at 5, or he started because he has just retired now. He started his day at 5 o'clock in the morning, and then at 6 o'clock, he would have morning lessons that would go on up to about half past 7 before the normal day starts with the other teachers. So that's the type of school principals that we need. Number two, these school principals, they don't compromise on teaching time. As I said earlier on, they guard against anything that is going to encroach on their teaching time.
So protect the essence of the school, it's there.
Yes, yes, which is about teaching and learning. So they understand that their role is to lead and to manage the school. They are not afraid to take decisions, sometimes that are unpopular, as long as they believe that those decisions are to the best interests of their learners. Number two, we discovered that they grew their own timber. In these schools, the school principals did not rely on the Department of Education to come and do induction or whatever form of training to the teachers. They did that themselves.
Is that number three? I think that was number three, eh?
Yeah.
Yes, that was number three.
Number three.
Yeah.
So what did you call it? They built their own timber.
They built their own timber, yes. The next point, they maximize teaching and learning. That is simple and straightforward. They made sure that all the learners were in class, where the teachers were in class on time teaching. And of course, the next point is discipline. Discipline in those schools is not negotiable. Say, if we had time, we would go to these schools in Durban, in the Umlazi township. They start their lessons at 6:30, most of these schools. You will also find that some of them would even start a week before, when the schools reopen in January. You will find that in some of these schools, they start a week before everybody else, which is amazing. And of course, there is order and discipline and predictability in the school. It is known the first period begins at this time, and so everybody has to be there. When it is after break, the teachers know that by the time the bell rings, they should be near the next class, because they should be teaching and learning should be taking place, and should be taking place on time. And the next point another finding was that there was constant monitoring of teaching and learning in the schools. That was very, very powerful for us. And lastly, they understood and accepted that the buck stops with them as the school principals, and continuously stated that they were accountable for what happened in their schools. We found this very, very powerful for us as teachers.
Those are 8 points, right?
Yes.
Barbara, comment. Maybe no surprises, but a nice benchmark for any principal to go back and say, all right, if I can tick these boxes with heart, then I'll be in good space.
A great benchmark. And I think the place where Sipiwe started with being that the principal jealously guards teaching and learning is absolutely fundamental. The role of a school is to ensure that teaching and learning happens, and that's the primary role of a principal. And so often we find in the sector, that principals are doing other things. They're doing managerial activities that are about maybe the maintenance of school buildings.
Yes.
But in fact, what a principal needs to do first and foremost is lead teaching and learning, and hence this term instructional leadership.
Yes. You will also find, Barbara, that in most of these schools, school principals are visible. They are not hiding behind their desks in their offices. They walk around the school, making sure that everybody is in class, making sure that there is teaching and learning taking place in the classrooms all the time for those 7 hours that the schools, the learners and the teachers are there. Yeah.
Louis?
Doctor, we had some very successful principals on this show several times, and I must admit they kind of be ticked against all those points that you mentioned.
Yes.
Highly dedicated, wonderful people. It's wonderful to see that. So your points seem pretty valuable, plus the one that they are visible.
Yes.
You know, they're not afraid to engage and
yes.
so on. And they manage to pass their main admin to somebody else so they
yes.
can focus on the people.
Yes.
And the tremendous, we had some students here, the one school, you know, pretty poor area, you know. Six distinctions, and they all said how they received that. And it's because of this kind of backup of a dedicated principal and teachers.
But all right, I'm sure your list can't be all inclusive, but what about the connection with the parents, the connection with the community, the connection with the the three letters?
The SMT.
SMT. You know, where do those fit in? But particularly your school governing body, for example.
Okay.
Did you see a correlation that those worked well?
Very true. Very true. Our research showed that in those schools where parents were involved, where the school governing body was involved, had a finger on the pulse, those schools did very well. We found that in our research as well. International research that has been conducted also proves that if parents are involved, schools do deliver.
Mm.
Schools do change. But of course, if the parents and the school governing body are aloof, you tend to have problems. You tend to have suspicions. Around a number of issues like finances and so on and so forth. So yes, the answer is where parents are involved and the governing body is active, those schools make a difference.
So one would find a correlation in those schools, I would guess?
Very true.
Even though it seems more challenging for school governing bodies to be effective in low resource areas because maybe there aren't accountants or maybe there aren't architects.
There are a number
engineers.
Of factors. We have a number of challenges, especially in rural communities and perhaps also in the townships, where parents are not as involved as they should be in the running or the governing of the school, because there is a difference between school governance and school management. The school principal is solely responsible for the professional aspect or the professional management of the school, and the governing body then is responsible for governance issues, for the creation of policies that control how things happen or govern how things happen at the school. So to come back to your question, yes, in rural areas and perhaps in township schools, you'll find that the people that should be in the governing body, the educated ones, those that have got an interest at heart, so to speak, their children are not attending those township schools. They are in the X Model C schools. And so you find that you have parents who do not understand the role that they should be playing in education. And so they are not as much as they should be involved in the running of the school.
Hence, it's so amazing for these schools to succeed. I mean,
of course, those are challenges.
Good benchmark. Barbara, what else do we have to extract from this man? I mean, he's got valuable information for school principals. Any question you have for him?
Well, I think, Sipiwe, what I want to ask you is, what do you think the habits and the actions of a good principal are? How can principals out there who are listening to the show learn from what you've said, and what kinds of things can they implement immediately to just shift their practice so that they have a greater focus on the instructional, a greater focus on teaching and learning and their responsibilities in that regard? And how can they show that they're walking the talk?
Thanks, Barbara, for that question. One of the things that we have found in our top performing schools is that those school principals, they are courageous.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, they are courageous.
If you look at the context, you better have courage to tackle that.
Yes. These are, you know, perhaps to answer you, Barbara, let me borrow ideas that I have read from the work that has been done by Professor Janssen from the University of the Free State. Professor Janssen and Molly Blank, they did a study on schools that work. And in their research, which has now been consolidated into a book, they found the following quickly. They found that effective schools establish routines and maintain those firm routines. Okay. They also extend the time for learning. They make school principals make sure that teachers are teaching every day and in every class. They also confronted the learners with high expectations. It is very important that the learners understand that they have these high expectations that they have to achieve. Let me give you a quick example of what is happening in some of the schools where I've done this research. You will find that at a school, for instance, like Vela Bahleke at Umlazi Township, that school, I said earlier on, it has never achieved less than 92%. Last year, they obtained 96%. So the learners this year, they understand that they have got that benchmark, and that benchmark is 96%. Nothing else. It has to be more than that.
Okay, Doctor, one more point there. We're out of time.
Yes.
And we maybe need you back here. So one other point, there's a strong correlation between that, Janssen and his team, and what the research you've done in KwaZulu-Natal.
Yes.
So I think those 8 points are strong enough, Barbara, Louis, for principals to take away from this show.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah.
A benchmark.
But say, before we proceed, because of time, I would like to come back so that I can share with you the research that I've conducted on ethics and ethical leadership. Okay. You know, when I came to Johannesburg in July last year, there was this story about a particular high school in the south of of Johannesburg, where something like 8 million rands, if I'm not mistaken, had been embezzled by the former school governing body. And of course, that speaks to ethics and ethical leadership.
Absolutely.
So I would like to come here perhaps in the near future so that I can share those findings or that research with you.
That can only be valuable. Final word, Barbara?
First of all, thank you to Sipiwe, and we definitely need him back on the show again. But secondly, to say that on the 18th of May at 4 o'clock at the Wits School of Governance, we've got principals up front, a dialogue series for principals. The focus in May, on the 18th of May, is going to be doing education differently, leadership lessons from effective schools. So I encourage the listeners to come along to that dialogue on the 18th of May at 4 o'clock at the Wits School of Governance.
Okay. There's another announcement. A poem?
Yes.
We're out of time. We'll read it another time. I don't want to steal from the next show.
Okay.
We've got an excited man from Wits here. Thank you so much for joining us, Sipiwe.
Thank you
have
very
you
much.
Back. Keep the poem, or maybe we can read it next time.
Barbara, thank you very much to you and your listeners.
Thank you for being with us. Well, next week is a public holiday. The show will be different, but it will be as exciting. And we look forward to being with you the week after live. Thank you for joining us today. CliffCentral.com